People get three or four verses, and I've given him a whole chapter because it needed to be the whole chapter. But I'm also grateful to God because the theme of today is about how good are you at sharing your story. And we've heard some incredible stories today. And I'm very grateful to God when he confirms that this is what he wants me to talk about. I want to talk initially about our trip, just for a couple of minutes. We went to Croatia, which was the first time we'd been to Croatia, and then on to Serbia. And remember I asked you, and I am very grateful for the prayers about the journey. Well, contrary to what I thought, the roads were fabulous. And the EU has spent a lot of money in making great roads, but the journey was 9 hours. And I was in the middle of the back seat of a car with five of us with a rucksack on my knee for 9 hours. It was an awful long journey there and back. But God did amazing things in Croatia and flung back the doors. And they desperately wanted us to go back in May. Well, I just couldn't. And so I'm actually going back probably in the autumn, winter, because it's just not going to work out for various reasons. Then we went on to Serbia, and I again went to a new place in Serbia called Vrbas, which is like London in that it's cosmopolitan. So every strand of Yugoslavia were in that city, and they all lived in peace with each other, including Muslims, which was incredible. And I got to speak in the Theatre of Yugoslavia. So there are not many things that still bear that name, but that does, and it was great. But one of the things that happened while we were in Croatia was I was taking a business meeting, and I worked with a guy who translates for me called Roger, and we prayed, the three of us, and we felt it was important for Jim to share his testimony at this business meeting. And for those of you who have heard Jim's testimony, it's very, very powerful, and I know many of you have. He became a Christian on the shop floor in an engineering company, and out of that, half the workforce became Christians. The business was transformed financially. Their wages were doubled overnight. I'm being really fast here because I don't want to take up a lot of time with it. And it was miraculous, but it was a sovereign move of God. God just did it. It wasn't about the church. It was about God. And it had quite an impact on these business people. They were quite a gathering, and it had quite an impact. But it made me think, how good am I at sharing my story? So you're getting it as well, because I've been challenged about it. And again, we heard from Jenny, a sovereign move of God. They were praying, wasn't about a particular church, and God moved in and revealed his love in a way. Same for you, Hayley. God moved in. God took care of the weather. You know, God does an awful lot of things we don't give him credit for. And we all have a story about those things. And you heard Richard read a story of another sovereign move of God. God moved in and he challenged Paul on that road. And out of that, we've got most of the New Testament. But God just did it. He just moved, and he's not stopped just doing it. And we all have powerful stories. And you know, our testimony is the most powerful thing we have. Our story about how we met Jesus, how God moves in our lives every day. It's the most powerful thing because it's mine. Nobody can dispute it. I had the privilege of speaking at the Alpha course on healing. And I got all the Alpha notes, and you know what it's like, if you speak at all, you know what it's like when you're trying to translate somebody's notes into your language. It's really difficult, and I really struggled with it, but I got it together in a fashion. But I'm halfway through speaking, and I put all the main points in early on, but I just felt a sense of the Holy Spirit say, just share your story. So really, I just opened up and shared a story about my healing. What God had done in me, because I can say it with certainty, because I know it, and I can't dispute it, because God does amazing things. The Church of England recently did a survey, I don't know how amongst how many people, but amongst the general public. Ruth mentioned this to me, so it just fitted in where I'm preparing a sermon, and she mentioned it, so I've slotted it in. And they asked people in the general public, how many of you know a Christian? in your family or at work, or how many of you know a Christian? And 67% of those people said they knew a Christian in one of those situations. They knew somebody who was a Christian. And then they asked, how many of you of them wanted to know more about Jesus? And the majority of them said they wanted to know more about Jesus. Not the minority, the majority. You know, out there in today's world, even in our schools, the name of Jesus is not mentioned very often. And people don't know about him. They don't know who he is. Or they know a vague thing about him. But you know, you and I know him. He's a buddy, he's a friend. A lot more than that. We know him. And, you know, they then asked, how many of them knew a vicar or somebody who led a church? 1%. 1% of them knew a leader in the church arena. And you know, I think sometimes we think it's their job to preach the gospel. It's their job because it is part of their job to share Jesus. But actually it's not, you know, it's our job. And it's not about an evangelistic crusade. We used to have a lot of those when I was a young Christian. We'd have big meetings and we would see lots of people come to the Lord. And that still happens out in Africa and lots of places like that. And that's great. But generally here, it doesn't happen like that. And people aren't pounding on St. Andrew's door or any other church's door to ask to be let in to the kingdom, because they don't know about the kingdom. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about having a relationship with him. And so I'm challenging myself, but also challenging you about, I know it's not easy to stand up here and share your story because it's a bit nerve-wracking. I know that, because every time I stand up here I feel like that. But it's about sharing life. Because everybody loves stories. Everybody loves stories. Kids love stories. Why do we watch television? What do we watch? We watch stories. Sometimes awful stories, sometimes great stories, but we watch stories. That's what we do when we turn on our television. We might watch nature programs and other things like that, but even about animals and things, we watch stories about their lives. So we all love stories. But so often we don't share our story. And it doesn't mean standing up here or doing what we did today. That's great because it encourages us all. But it's actually sharing over a cup of coffee. Or over dinner, over lunch. Just naturally about what's happening in your life. You know, I'm picking on you, Hayley. Is that all right? Is Hayley going out and having a drink with her friends and just saying, guess what happened to me this week? It's not about being hyper-spiritual or about getting down the 3 points about what you should do. Now, Paul did that, and I'm coming back to that in a minute. But it's about just sharing your contact with Jesus because it draws people. It's not our job to save people. We don't do the saving. We don't bring people into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit does that. That's his job. He reveals Jesus to them. But we can share about him. And then sometimes there's a moment when you know, actually, you need to say, do you want to know him? But that doesn't happen all the time. That happens occasionally. It's just about sharing life with people, about how awesome God is every day, how he takes care of the weather. You know, they're important to us on those occasions. Funds need to be raised. It's important that God moves into situations like that. And you know, there are more examples in Scripture of God healing people who were not Christians than healing people who are. Because God reaches out to the world. Jesus came to save the world. He didn't come to save the church. He came to save the world. He came that people would come into relationship with Jesus. He paid such a massive price that we might live, that we might have eternity, that we might know him and have relationship with him, because he really loves us. You know, what was revealed in that hospital room at Western Park was love. It was pure love, and pure love comes from God. And he loves each one of us so much that he wants to be part of every moment of our lives. But if he's part of every moment of our lives, then we've got something to share. We've got someone to talk about. You know, when we fall in love, we tell people about the person we're in love with. We tell them how wonderful he or she is. We share those things. And we have a relationship with him that's really important. And people out there need to know, and they are not going to know by any other means. Ruth brought me a paper here, and if you want to see it, it's really worth looking at. There's a picture on the front of all these bishops dancing in church. I love it. It was because it was the end of the week of prayer for evangelism. And there's a quote here. Bishop Charteris delivered a sermon of commission. The Spirit is urging us out in a universal mission to unite the whole human race heart to heart, he said. The problem is that we become confined to our churches. Christians in our own day do not have spiritual ambition of the kind that flows whenever we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." They want us, they're commissioning Church of England, and I think it's true across the churches, because God is speaking and saying, "Come on, come out of your churches." Not asking us to have demonstrations, they're not asking us to go out on block, they're asking us to go and share Jesus. Go and share Jesus. What Paul did in Acts 26 was he told his story. That's all he did. He told his story. So we can get pointers from him telling his story. He told how it was before. Now, a lot of people think that they're not worth saving. That why would God, big God, care about them? Because their life's in a mess. They've messed up. They know they have. Why would God care? Well, Paul really endorsed murder. So we're talking about an extreme life here, that he had been witness to many Christians being killed. He persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians. But God met him on the road. So he shared what his life was like before. Now, you and I may have met Jesus in very different ways. For me, it was very radical. For Jim, it was very radical. For a lot of people, it isn't. It's a gentle dawning. It's being part of church, and then you come to a point where you make a decision. Well, that's still as valid. It's to share, well, I really went to church, but didn't really connect with Jesus. And people will identify with that. But then he talked about what brought him to Jesus. What brought Jim to Jesus, the final thing, other than the Holy Spirit, of course, was that my father dying when I was 16, leaving me at home with two younger brothers, my mum widowed. And that really made Jim think about eternity. It made me angry with God. My response was very, very different. It was, Jim thought, my dad was 46. If he can die then, I could die. So he was already on a journey, and it was a tipping point into receiving Jesus. For me, I wanted to tell Jim where to put his Bible in no uncertain terms. And I did. For a year, I didn't want to know. Because I blamed God for taking my dad away. So for me, that's part of my story of how it was before. But then both of us came to a point where we received Jesus. And Paul tells his story about being met on the road. Most of us aren't going to have that. You know, don't think that's going to happen to most of us. I'm not saying it won't happen, because God can do whatever he pleases. But then he talked about what his life was like now, the difference that Jesus made. And the difference that Jesus makes to you and I is that he walks with us every moment of every day. And how awesome is that? That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the world, the Lord, walks with you and me every day. That just, something rises up inside me when I think about that. I can't, it just overwhelms me. That God is my dad, my friend, walks with me every day, gives me purpose, and wants to reach a lost world. I'm not saying it's easy to share your story, but one of the things I've learned is always be sincere and honest. Talk about the tough stuff. Talk about the struggles with it. Talk about the struggles with life. You know, because often I think as Christians, we think that we go through a tough time and we must put on a mask because we're Christians. And, you know, I'm a Christian, so nothing's bothering me. Yeah, right. Come and spend a day in my lounge and listen. That's not true. And actually, one of the more honest things to say is, I'm really struggling with life. This is really hurting me. I don't know where God is, but I'm trying to trust him. People respond to that because it's real. Sometimes people stay away from church because it's all about rules and regulations, as you were sharing. It's all about rules and regulations, and it's about plastic faces. I think I shared a little bit about my story at the Alpha, and I think I shocked a few people because I was really honest. But afterwards, one or two people came up to me and said, thank you for being honest. Thank you for that. And, you know, I think people out in the world want our honesty. They want to know the truth of what life's really like. But they also want to know that there's somewhere you can go when it's bad. There's someone that will bring peace to your life when you're struggling, when you're grieving, when you're going through illness, when you're going through a breakdown of a relationship, that there's someone there that you can go to. That's what you're offering people when you share your story. You're offering them hope that there's someone there. Because there is. There is someone there. So I'm asking you the question, how good are you at sharing your story? And if you struggle with that and you'd like some prayer at the end, one or two of us will be around. If you just want the courage, because, you know, it does take courage to just say those first few words, to step over the fear. It's not being without fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing something scared. It's when your heart's beating and you think, can I say what happened on Thursday night? Can I really say? Because these people don't know God. But it's your story. And people remember. People love stories. James, do you want this or are you?